ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 19 द आइलैंड ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप टेक्स्ट 25 प्राप्त निर्जतिं त्व इहाये च जन्तवो यान क्रिया द्रव्य कलाप संभृतां न वै यतनरन अपुनर्भवायते भूयो वनौका इव यान्ति बंधनम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन भारतवर्ष ऑफर्स द प्रॉपर लैंड एंड सर्कमस्टेंसेस इन विच टू एग्जीक्यूट डिवोशनल सर्विस विच कैन फ्री वन फ्रॉम द रिजल्ट्स ऑफ ज्ञान and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bharatvarsha with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtana Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. Purport. In the land of Bharatvarsha, one can very easily perform the Sankirtana Yajna, which consists of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, or one can perform other methods of devotional service such as Smaranam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam. In Bharatvarsha, one has the opportunity to visit many holy places, especially Lord Chaitanya's birth site and Lord Krishna's birth site, Navadvip and Vrindavan, where there are many pure devotees who have no desires other than to execute devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adi anavritam. And one may thus become free from the bondage of material conditions. Other paths, such as the path of jnana and the path of karma, are not very profitable. Pious activities can elevate one to the higher planetary system, and by speculative knowledge one can merge into the Brahman existence. But this is not real profit for one who has come down again even from the liberated condition of being merged in Brahman. And certainly one must come down from the heavenly kingdom. One should endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead. Yanti majya Madhyaji nopi mam. Otherwise, there is no difference between human life and the life of jungle animals and birds. Animals and birds also have freedom, but because of their lower birth, they cannot use it. Taking advantage of all the facilities offered to him, a human being who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha should become a fully enlightened devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. This is the subject matter of the Krishna consciousness movement. The inhabitants of places other than the Bharatvarsha have facilities for material enjoyment, but they do not have the same facility to take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that one who has taken birth as a human being in Bharatvarsha must first realize himself as a part and parcel of Krishna, and after taking to Krishna consciousness, he must distribute this knowledge all over the world. Hare Krishna. So, last few purports we have been discussing what is the importance of an individual taking birth in this very auspicious land of Bharatavarsha. Factually speaking, from point of view of beauty and so many other things, there are many more beautiful places. If someone wants to go on a holiday, and if you see the statistics, then you may find people going to many other places like Niagara Falls, Hawaii Islands. Very few may opt for coming to India. Recently, one Brahmachari godbrother who came from Italy, and I met him, and this is almost 4-5 years back when I was in guest reception. That time he had come to India, and I asked him, "So have you come to India before?" So he said, "Yes, I did come long back," and I was surprised. Someone from Italy came to India. So I asked him, "Why? What attracted you? How did you come?" He said, "I came as a tourist." "So what place did you come to see? Did you come to see Taj Mahal, the seven wonder?" He said, "No, I actually read somewhere in general knowledge that the biggest slum of the world is in India, Dharavi. So I became attracted and enthused. The biggest slum, how it must be looking. So I came to India to see the biggest slum." So we have the biggest slum, we may say, we may not be over here in India having that material advancement as such. But there is those who are spiritually enlightened may want to come to only one place, including the demigods, and that is India. We are sitting here in the center of Bombay, Mumbai, and so many guests visiting from all over the world, practically coming to Vrindavan, going to Mayapur, so many places, just becoming attracted, because those who are spiritually enlightened would like to go to only one place, and towards the east. And today I would like to just discuss not any specific point as such, but as Prabhupada flows through the purport, we'll take one by one. Srila Prabhupada initially speaks about importance of Bharat Varsha and the processes of bhakti. 9 processes can be very nicely executed in this land of India. And in the 4th canto, where there is a discussion of Narad Muni giving knowledge to Prachini Bhari, and he speaks to him this wonderful knowledge of becoming free from karma kand and jnana kand. So there is a shloka in that which says, "Saikada hemavato dakshineshva athashanushu dadarshanavabhiradvarabhir puram lakshitam lakshatam puram lakshita lakshanam." Sa ekada hemavato, on the dakshina side of Himalayas, hemavato, there is a tract of land where one should go, and that particular land is called as Bharatavarsha, situated on that side. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, what are the advantages of being in Bharatavarsha? He writes many things. Some of them are that one has the facility to advance spiritually and materially. Of course, spiritually, no doubt. And materially speaking, because the material environment is very conducive for spiritual advancement. And Srila Prabhupada writes that how people want to stay. At one time there was Rama Rajya, or during the reign of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Even the climatic conditions were so wonderful that people were very happy to execute their devotional service. There was no extreme heat, there was no extreme cold, and everything was very favorable. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that right now, India is artificially disturbed. And that's why it is not being able to progress in its spiritual life. Yet, there is culture. So much so that one can perfect his life and go back home, back to Godhead. That facility is still there, even though Kali Yuga is advancing so rapidly. And Srila Prabhupada writes that even now in India, in the villages, people get up in the morning and they take bath in river and well, and they clean their 9 gates. Navadwara bhir, this body, Narad Muni mentions to Prachini Bhari, has 9 gates: the eyes, nose, ears, mouth, genitals, anus. And he is actually comparing the body to a person, living entity. And he says that in India, people get up in the morning, clean their 9 holes, and then chant Hare Krishna. That means they pursue spiritual life very wonderfully. So, people in India are still God-fearing. They have some fear of God. And that's why it is easier to understand God for a person who is born in India. We all know that in our family, we had some background. Some connection is always there. When we go for college preaching programs, you meet so many students, and sometimes the student comes, especially who are from outside Bombay. In Bombay, the culture has reduced because there is so much of bombardment of material energy. But otherwise, most of the students who come from outside Bombay, and immediately when they see you, many of them will just come and touch your feet. And you're surprised that the parents have given this culture to them, naturally. I remember one of our devotees about how there is some God fear of God in people. He was going for book distribution. This is many years back. I hope he is here. He's from Calcutta, Radha Raman Prabhu. He's gone back. Okay. So he was with me earlier, and he was going for book distribution every day. And one day when he went for book distribution on the railway platform, outstation trains, he was caught by the police. And then the TT, not the police, the TC. And the TT, the ticket collector, caught him, and he just said that you're not allowed to distribute books. And he said, but I'm not doing anything wrong. And said, okay, then I'll take you to the court. And then he was taken to the police and then to the court. And when he was put in the court, the judge saw that person dressed in dhoti, kurta, shikha, and so sattvic, tilak, standing over there with some books. And the judge asked the TT, what is this? Why you have brought this person? Immediately, the judge felt that you have some sense why you have brought him. And the TT was disturbed. Oh, have I done anything wrong? He was distributing books, and it is illegal. So in India, this would not happen in the West probably. But in India, still immediately the judge himself is telling, why you have brought him? And then, okay, so you have done so and so thing, and you may have to be charged with so many hundred rupees, few hundred rupees. And our devotee, Radharaman Prabhu, he is really dhrida. He is very strong. If you meet him, you'll know. He would not depart with one single paisa of Prabhupada. He had money with him. The books he distributed. Few hundred rupees. But he said, I don't have any money. Because he was thinking, why should I give Prabhupada's money? I'm not doing anything wrong. And then the judge was disturbed. Now what to do? This person is not willing to pay. But the precarious situation is that because he's a sadhu, whether we should put him in jail or not. And the TT is also in anxiety now that I have put him here. So let's, then the bargaining started. And okay, let us reduce to something. Let's see what is the minimum fine in the law book. And the minimum fine in the laws is that if someone does not take a ticket and goes on the platform, and he has to pay 50 rupees, platform ticket, if you're not taking platform ticket. Said, okay, you pay minimum of 50 rupees and go away. We leave you. He could have done that. But Radharaman Prabhu was a little more determined than the judge. He said, no, I don't have any money and I will not pay. And so that TT put his hand on his head and he said, why did I ever bring this fellow over here? And he was cursing. So he said, the TT removed 50 rupees from his pocket. he paid the amount over there and he let Radharaman Prabhu go. And you know, Radharaman Prabhu thought that, okay, at least he's done so much. Out of compassion, he gave one book to him. You take one big. So no, why you came in my life and like, you know, you just go. And so that in India, there is some God fear. People are, there is some culture, some training is there. And it is so advantageous that simply being born over here, you are cultivated so nicely. There is some understanding of God. Although, right now, people may not be sure, as Radha Gopinath Prabhu says in his lecture, that nobody can swear that I am an outright atheist. I don't have any faith in God. They cannot swear that. And neither can they say, no, I'll ride with my blood that I have full faith. Somewhere in between the, because the parampara is broken of scientifically understanding through scriptures whether there is God or not God. Amazingly, but the nine processes are mentioned of Shravana, Kirtana, Smarana, Vandana, and Dasya, and of course, Atma Nivedanam and Sakhyam. Their devotional service is divided into two. Vaidhi Bhakti, which consists of the first seven of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the Lord lotus feet in the mode of a servant. And the later two of friendship and completely surrendering oneself, Atma Nivedanam and Sakhyam, are the culmination of the first seven. The next later shlokas where Narada Muni is preaching to Prachini Bhari and he tells him about the example of Malaya Dhwaja, that how a living entity captured in the grip of Maya and he attracted to all the illusory energy leaves his body. As he leaves his body, he gets the form what he was actually meditating on. So he says that Puranjan dies and because he is meditating on a woman, in his next life, he becomes a woman. A man becomes a woman. And then, he is called as Vaidharbi. And she gets married to Malaya Dhwaja, who is compared to the spiritual master, who can save the living entity. Malaya Dhwaja. Malaya Dhwaja means strong like a mountain. And who can face and all the oppositions and rescue the living entity, Vaidharbi. So, shloka is, Tasyam sa janayam chakra, atmajam asi tekshanam, yavisha sapta sutan, sapta dravida bhubrataha. After Malaya Dhwaja and Vaidharbi are married, they get children. And the first child they get is a daughter, Asitekshanam. And she is called as Asitekshanam, which means black-eyed. Black eyes in the sense, Krishna is black. And one whose vision is fixed on Krishna, Krishna vision. And other than that, they get seven sons. And these seven sons are compared to the seven processes of devotional service, that is Vaidhi Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that anyone who actually executes these seven processes nicely, then the culmination is the last two of Raga Anuga, Sakhyam and Atma Nivedanam. He becomes fixed in the other two. So, there are five Dravida Deshas. There's called as over here Sapta Dravida Bhubritaha. These Sapta Dravida Deshas in South India are actually famous for execution of these seven processes of Vaidhi Bhakti. Because we have the prominent acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, like that. And they are expert in executing. Of course, then Srila Prabhupada writes that all these acharyas are fixed in Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam. Although they are expert in executing these seven. And those devotees who went to South India, they must have seen how wonderful in South India, huge temples, best facilities for execution of devotional service. Very nice deity worship, excellent standards of deity worship. So the seven processes are very well executed and they are prominently, the acharya is famous over there in South India. Nowadays the South Indians may be misguided. They have this strong attachment to doing all services, every ritual properly. And because they are misdirected, they may do it for politicians and actors now. As soon as the actor may come on the scene, cinema screen, they may break a coconut or do a aarti of his temple. The same thing is there, simply misdirected. Srila Prabhupada further mentions in the purport over here that Lord Chaitanya's birth site, one can visit Vrindavan and Navadvip, and other paths such as the path of jnana and path of karma are not very profitable. Pious activities can elevate one to the higher planets, and these jnana and karma are causes of bondage. Jnana kaana, karma kaana, kevala vishera bhaana. It is simply a pot of poison. Unknowingly one may drink it. In the pastime of Puranjan, it is said, Eke kaisha bhavata tesham, rajan arbudam arbudam, bhokshate yad vamshadharer, Mahi manvantaram param. That when the spiritual master and disciple come together and start preaching the pure principles of devotional service, what takes place? Arbudam arbudam. Many more pure followers of devotional service arise. So many of them are there. And they expand slowly all over this planet, preaching the cult of devotional service. And by submissive practice to the great souls, many other disciples keep on increasing. What is Vamshadhare? There are many sampradayas. In devotional service, there are so many variegated sampradayas. And we are also one of them. Does that mean that they are all different? In principle and essence, they are the same. All these different sampradayas, their goal is one. Taking all living entities back to Godhead. Gaurang Prabhu was giving the example that how there may be a football team which may have many players, and all players may have their own techniques. But the goal of all the players is the same. To take this ball and kick it inside the goal. So all the players, they come together and they try to push. The ball is the living entity. And it is being kicked back to Godhead by all the others. So there may be many sampradayas. But ultimately the goal is to help all living entities go back home, back to Godhead. And then the word used over here is Bhokshate yad vamshadhare. What is Bhokshate? Bhokshate means to give protection. So Prabhupada writes Jnana kaana, Karma kaana, and these are causes of bondage. Of course, right now you don't see many people. There are quite a few, but not many who don't even know what is Jnana Kaanda, what is Karma Kaanda. There are so many upper sampradayas that there may be different types of other kaandas taking place over there. There may be so much of nonsense taking place over there. These different kaandas are more famous nowadays. And so, the propagators of devotional service, they do bhokshyate, they give protection. Protection from whom? From different babas and ammas, which are prevalent all over nowadays. So then, this daughter, Asitekshanam, she was born and she was married to Agastya Muni. Agastasya Pradhutaram Upayame Dhritavratam Dhridavratam Yasyasma Dhridachyuta Jata Idmavahamajo Munihi. And as she was married to Agastya Muni, Agastya, if taken in individual word, means senses, represents senses. And Munihi represents mind. When a living entity's senses and mind are fully engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, then he can advance rapidly towards the perfection of one's goal of human life. And Asitekshanam represents over here that eyes are fixed on Krishna and not other processes of Garmakand, Gyankand or worshipping other demigods. But Asitekshana, eyes fixed only on Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes that bhakti is the most important thing out of all the other. Bhakti is higher than Karmakand and Gyankand. It is very important to define what is bhakti. Otherwise, there may be some confusion. Because when we go to preach and we meet different people and they say, I am also a devotee. Hum bhi bhakti kar rahe hain. And although you find them, they are doing so many different things in life. Sometimes even great Bhagavat Kathakars, they may be giving Katha, big, big Katha, 7 days Katha, and sometimes if you go to meet them in their house, where is Swamiji? Swamiji is doing Shivji's puja. What did he understand from Srimad Bhagavatam? If he is worshipping something else. So, bhakti should be defined. Radha Gopinath Prabhu speaks in his 6-day course that how he saw a cartoon in his earlier times. There is a man sitting and he is meditating on Durga. Hey Ma, and there is a bubble showing Lord Durga, Mother Durga, sitting on a tiger with chopper in her hand. And then there is his son sitting next to him and he is also meditating. Hey Ma, but in the bubble there is not Durga, there is a young the heartbeat of the 70s. Sometimes she now also comes on the television. And he's worshipping on her like that. So, there should be a definition that what is bhakti? Bhakti means, bhakti is for Vishnu and nobody else, Srila Prabhupada writes. One can worship Lord Krishna and that is called as bhakti. So, bhakti lata is dhridavrata. One can progress like that and later on the spiritual master guides you how to actually worship Vishnu. He fixes you and the seed of bhakti is given in the heart and the bhakti lata slowly grows, ending in the fruit of that lata which is called as prema at the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Malayadhwaja and Vaidharbi, they retired from their kingdom and went in the jungles. Very wonderful explanation is given about how one can take shelter and serve a guru. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport over here that there is so much advantage being born in India. But One may think that I am free. Even the animals are free. The animals, they are roaming around freely, but they are bound by a lower consciousness, and therefore they are born again. So you see that animals, practically speaking, they don't have anything to do. A bird may get up in the morning very nicely, and all grains are available. She can go to any banya shop, and so many grains have fallen, and she can eat something, and her tummy is full. The animal may not have to work to get up early and rush for catching the 6:25 virar fast. He's relaxed. He just gets up. Sometimes a dog is lying down at the other station and people are running, and he's wondering why they are running so fast. And he's nicely sleeping. He doesn't have to work hard like a dog. People say work hard like a dog. But practically speaking, work hard. Dog is relaxed. And he's taking, he's a nice nap. And people are working. They are becoming worse than a dog. And even for sex life, he has no problem. He doesn't have to take any home loans and pay any interest. No anxiety. He can just have his family in open. The sky is the roof. And so many children, no limitation, are wondering whether I will be able to get them admission or not. What to speak of keeping some extra money for paying for admission. No anxiety. I am free, you are free, enjoy yourself. And simultaneously, no need to get any clothes. Live free life. So animal has nothing to do in life, practically. When he is hungry, he goes find some food, eat some food, and he is happy. But that does not mean that because the animal has so much of free time, he does not use that time to understand God. It is just like, you know, we are sometimes struggling. I wish I had some more hours, I could chant my rounds properly. Or I could have done so many things more. But the animal has a lot of free time. But he does not use it in understanding the goal of life. That's why human life is more important. Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives the example of Alexander the Great. One time Alexander was camping close to India, and a thief entered his tent. And as the thief entered, he was caught red-handed and brought in front of Alexander. And then Alexander said, "Let his head be chopped off. He has the guts to steal from my tent." And then the thief surprisingly spoke to Alexander the Great. He said, "You cannot do this. What do you think?" And Alexander was surprised that, "Hey, this fellow is just a small thief and he has got the guts to speak to me. Let me see what he has to say. Nobody has ever spoken like that to me. So what do you have to say?" And the thief said, "See, I am a small time thief. I enter in the middle of the night and with my two hands, whatever I can collect, I take and I run away. And you are Alexander the Great. You have great armies and you enter in the open daytime and you canter, you collect whatever you can and you also run away. So actually, there is no difference. I am a small time thief, you are a big time thief." And Alexander was amused and he actually did not kill him, he let him go. So the analogy actually says that if someone is born in this land of India and he does not perfect his life, then he is just a sophisticated, two-legged animal, the great. Not perfecting his life. So, Malayadhwaja and Vaidharbi, they go to the forest. And over there, they do some tapasya. Actually, before going, Malayadhwaja divided his kingdom and put his sons in charge of different parts of the kingdom. And that's how it is said that a guru, before departing, he sees to it that his disciples become worthy enough to take care of all the preaching. And he is free to go. Srila Prabhupada always told his disciples that, "I have become so old, you should relieve me from management. I want to go and do some writing work." So qualified disciple is always ready to share the preaching activity and responsibility of a guru, and he allows the guru to go in nirjan bhajan. Prabhupada, he struggled so much. When a person wants to retire, Srila Prabhupada, one disciple came and asked him, when should we retire, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said that when you have done sufficient preaching, you can go and retire in Vrindavan. He was very happy. Good. I have a bright future. And then Prabhupada told him, but I cannot retire because I have not sufficiently done my preaching work. And he realized, if Prabhupada is not done, then what to speak of me? I have to do so much more. That means this lifetime I don't have to retire. So, Madhirekshana, Vaidharbhi is also called as Madhirekshana, intoxicated. Her eyes are intoxicated with Krishna Prem. As long as one is not completely advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot become attracted to the Supreme Lord and go and retire somewhere and think about the Lord. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada tried to do that without the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. And later on, when someone was traveling, he found him putting petrol in one tank. He had actually gone to become a Babaji. So, if one is not elevated to that platform, one cannot do that. And as we are born in India, it is easy to get knowledge and then understand who is a guru and then serve him. How to serve a guru? First, to accept him as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hitva bhogan, and give up all sense gratification. So, when one is serving a guru, the loving service is done. Loving service and giving up sense gratification, they go hand in hand. When one does that, then he can serve the guru very nicely. And there are some benefits to serving in such a way. What are they? If a disciple serves without hypocrisy and duplicity, then even if he is not very advanced, he may not be perfect in many things, but he gets all the credits of devotional service. So although she was a lady, but she was serving her husband Malayadhwaja, and she would get all the benefits of devotional service. Similarly, a disciple, he should simply serve the guru without hypocrisy and duplicity. We have seen in the lives of so many devotees, they are very simple, but they served without hypocrisy and duplicity, and they made so much of advancement. You can take the example of Ekalavya. One may say that Ekalavya was actually a much better archer than Arjun. Even without getting official training from Dronacharya, he was so expert that he could do great feats. But because he was hypocritical, he did not obey the first order of Dronacharya. He told him, you should not do this. You should not practice archery. And he disobeyed the first order itself. And with hypocrisy, he created a dummy and tried to do something. That's why he did not get the full credits of devotional service. As a matter of fact, he was killed in a very bad way. Whereas Arjuna, although he was not better than him, but he was blessed by his guru, and his guru literally told him how he could kill him. So much his blessing he was getting. So that's all that one has to do. That is one benefit. And therefore, in spiritual life, there is no anxiety to become better than others. All one has to do is find someone whom he can serve, who is an advanced devotee. And if he serves such a person, automatically all the good qualities will come in him. People are struggling. In material life, we are actually trained like that, to become better than others. So when we come to spiritual life, we try to apply the same funda. Okay, he is better in this, he is good in that. Let me also become good in that. Let me also become that. But ultimately, we see, like Bhavanand Prabhu is saying, all the simple and nice devotees are going back to Godhead. If a person, Mahaprabhu said, if he chants Hare Krishna, does not criticize anybody, I will personally take him back to Godhead. Devotional life is very simple, but people make it very difficult and complicated. Just like yesterday I was speaking to Jagannath Prabhu. And I said, I'm not prepared for giving a class because I want to give a class and do this and that. What I should speak and... right now, I'm not a speaker. I go to colleges and I speak about body and soul, some simple things to college students. So Jagannath Prabhu said that, just go and speak that in Bhagavatam class. And it just hit me like anything at that time. That actually, yeah, we want to do something. For myself personally, I want to speak something so that I can get some appreciation. Jadera pratishta, shukharera vishta. I can taste something. But actually, for a simple person, it is very simple. Just speak something simple. And that's what he knows. He knows Krishna in a simple way. And Krishna likes simple people. He doesn't want excellent managers and experts around him. He wants to associate with simple cowherd boys. So, that's one point. There are many other things mentioned, but we are short of time. So I will end over here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki jai.